Hello,
Hello, and
hello. welcome back to Industry, the podcast from the perspective of being a Black female independent artist in the entertainment industry. Since you're tuning in, remember to follow us at Industry. That's NDISTRY on Instagram. Good evening. I'm your host, Ashara Moore, and of course, you can follow me at Ashara Unlimited. That's ASHARAH. Unlimited on Instagram and Ashara Demore on Facebook. And as always, I'm here tonight with my beautiful, lovely, and talented co-host.
Yes, you already know it's your girl, Your Highness Tiara Monique. And of course, you can follow me everywhere. As I always say, I'm Googleable. That's TIARRA Monique on just about every platform you can imagine. And for tonight's discussion, we are talking about working in the studio as a Black female independent artist. And what we mean by working in the studio is it's just that, going to the studio, putting in that work, and the gems that a lot of folks, especially us, as women, I feel like we need to really know and have a grasp on if nobody's ever told you. And the first thing I will say is that I have all types of experiences with working in the studio, whether it is what they call someone's closet studio, to a professional studio, to my own personal in-house studio, to even the studios within educational or education, what am I trying to say? Institutions. There you go. That's what I'm trying to say. So, one thing I will say about it is that when you are preparing to go to the studio, that's really the key. You have to really be prepared. It doesn't matter who you're working with, where you're going to work, preparation is key. If you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. So, what do I mean by preparation? Like, whatever song you're going in to record, whether you're at home or in someone's studio, the studio is not the time to figure out the song or to practice the song or to try to think of how the song is going to go. That is what you call the final part of the production process, at least for recording,
Exactly.
because you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, I
and I'll
know
say
exactly
this.
what you mean.
I won't say that I've always had that perfected. And not because I didn't want to, but I will say this, like sometimes when, I mean, just depending on where you are in your process and what your budget is and what you have available to you, what your resources are, sometimes when you're starting out, just depending on how things go, you might be trying to get into the studio whenever you can, and you may not know when that may be. And so, when you got the chance to get into the studio, you're just like, I'm gonna take it, no matter if you prepared or not. But I'd say it's best to be prepared. So, knowing your song, knowing your lyrics, even if you gotta look at them, that's fine. But at least know it well enough to where, like, you can perform it. That's the main thing. You're performing at this point, you're not trying to learn it. And also be prepared to have copies made, on your flash drive, on your hard drive, especially if you are independent. You should always have all of your masters, or if you don't have like a physical hard drive or external drive, WeTransfer, Dropbox, Google Drive, tell them send you all of that, okay? And if you can, always get the content for it, because that what's the word I'm looking for? That kind of legitimizes your role as a professional recording artist. So those are some things I would throw out there first. And I mean, we can dive into some more stuff, but that's what I'll say first. Just being prepared. What do you think, Ashara?
Yeah, wow. I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth, really. I mean, that's one thing that, and maybe it's the Virgo in me where, I'm very, like, I care a lot about, like, I guess some people say Virgos are perfectionists. And in that, we like to plan. And I do like to plan. And I would like to say, I do like things to be done in a certain way and to be polished and professional, of course, as much as possible. I am not so much, I wouldn't say I'm a perfectionist to the extent of like, oh, if there is some slight mistakes or something, it's like, I can't handle it because that's life. Everything's not going to be 100% perfect all the time, but that's where the preparation comes in. And when it comes to being in the studio, I've always like thought that you should be prepared, but when let me go back to the beginning, okay?
Take
Because
your time.
all right, so when I first started going to the studio, I didn't even know that I wanted to sing professionally. I first started going to different studios, whether that was like people's independent studios that they had in their house or professional studios as well, just as, a guest and other people's sessions, and I was just around people who did music, and I was seeing their creative process, and seeing their creative process made me think like, oh, this is how it's supposed to be in the studio, because I didn't know. I was a child. I didn't know anything else than what I was first introduced to. So, it made me really anxious when it was my time to really step into the studio and on a professional level, because I was so used to seeing a process that wasn't really how what felt comfortable to me. And by that, what was uncomfortable to me was that a lot of times in those studio experiences prior to that, it would be a lot of people in the studio, people who were not they were not, in my opinion, they weren't really, they didn't really need to be there. Let's just say that. They just didn't really need to be there. It was like, and why are they here though? Like, well, what's their purpose? Like, they weren't doing anything but just kind of like extra friends and, people, the homies or whatever. And it's like, okay, yeah, that's cool. That's how some people work. And most of the time, this was like rappers and different things like that. And these were some family members and friends, just people I grew up around that was into music. So again, I'm just seeing them mostly men. Males, like, and I was seeing their creative process. The majority of the time, I will say that it was men, and I'm like, okay, extra girls, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just like, okay, who are these? Why is it 25 people here? Like, who's actually recording? Who is the artist here? Like, why is all these other people here? Do they song? They're not a songwriter. They're not anybody's manager. They're not anybody's assistant. They're not the engineer. They don't work here in the studio. Like, what is their really, what is their purpose to be here? And that gave me a lot of anxiety about my own time. And I had to learn that one, I didn't have to take somebody else's creative process as my own. And two, to be prepared, because I've seen a lot of people waste time in the studio. Like, a lot of, okay, for example, let's just take certain rappers. I've across the board, they'll say, like, oh, yeah, and maybe not even, no, not even just rappers, even R&B singers. What am I talking about? Look, now I think about, I'm look, thinking about it in the past, I'm like, they weren't all rappers. It was some singers out there too doing this. Like, oh, the studio's super late at night. Okay, and me, I don't like the studios. I don't like going super late at night. I'm a mom. I have my kids. I like to go when my kids are in school and be out when they get home from school. Like, that's my schedule. I only have the time to work in between the times that my kids are at school. When they're out of school, I'm done. I'm mom now after that. So that was also something that I was like, dang, am I gonna have to, record late at night at 1 o'clock in the morning when my voice is groggy and I'm tired and, 2, 3 a.m. And it's that was crazy to me to have that type of lifestyle. So and then yeah, but I got out of that, because a lot of people there still say like, oh, it's cheaper at night. Yeah, it could be cheaper at night. However, if you're prepared and you're efficient in your process, the money is not going to make a difference. If you can get your if you oh rented out the studio for 10 hours at night, or you know what I'm saying, oh, because it was half price. Yeah, but you spent 4 hours talking to your friends and greeting everybody. Y'all didn't even know what song you wanted. Then y'all listened to some beats. Then y'all, for another 2 hours. The last hour, you finally came up with something. Y'all, somebody in the book. It's cheaper at nighttime and it saves money, but I'm like, y'all barely recorded a song. Y'all ain't even record. Like, what is going on? So, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I had to learn fast. Like, that's not how I wanted. I had to own the studio and own my time in the studio when it came time for me to do, what I do now. And it's not late at night, it's not with a whole group of people. And it is, I set the tone for that. And it's peaceful. I'm prepared. I know my music. I already know what track I'm singing to. I already know my lyrics for the most part. Sometimes in the studio, some things change because once you start recording, you can hear yourself back and like, oh no, I want to change that phrasing a little. Okay, they're thinking it sound better. And then also you may have the feedback of your engineer as well. Or, if you do choose to have your partner there or manage, somebody that's essential to your process, or like maybe another songwriter, whoever you're working with, maybe you have somebody that give you some feedback and you want to change things up. But typically for me, it's a very intimate thing for me to be in the studio, and I like to keep it that way. I like to have my snacks, my water and tea and certain things that's special to me. I think finding the right studio for yourself is good because I don't have a personal studio at home. I do have to go out and use professional studios. So sourcing the right studio and the home studio for yourself, I think, is so important. And that took me a while to find studios I felt comfortable in because, especially being a woman, a lot of people, and it's nothing against people who smoke or anything like that, but I didn't want to be in a studio where they allow smoking. Like the studio that I go to, they don't allow smoking in that studio. Yeah, I mean, again, that's cool if you do, but I don't want to be around that because also sometimes, because it is the daytime, sometimes my kids do come with me. Or they do come after, you know what I'm saying? They might be there during the process. So I don't, it's for that kind of reason. But just making sure that you own your experience, I think, is so important. And it doesn't have to look like somebody else's creative process. And, there's some very talented people that do it their way and they get their work done the way they get it done. But that's not something that works for me. So I think that's the biggest takeaway so far is just finding my lane and kind of staying there and being okay with being just kind of like the clean, just easygoing daytime studio, with two or less people that, well, it can't be less than two people there, but all right, like me and just the engineer is fine, or one other person maybe in the studio with me that's I feel is necessary. And like I said, sometimes my kids, I do like to have them come in and towards the end, not really while I'm recording, but like, I don't mind them. I've shown them some of the process as well because they're curious and I want them to be exposed to that because, they're both musically inclined and stuff. So I do want them to have some experience coming to the studio and knowing about studio etiquette and so forth.
And man, you're so right, like about owning your experience, because that's really the key part of the whole experience itself, like owning it. Because one thing, like you said, you do run into those situations, or and people make it seem like that, whether it's on social media, whether it's in movies, like you see a whole entourage of people in the studio. They may be in there for hours on hours before anything is done. But from an independent standpoint, like that's just not realistic. Like that's how you is, what I'm saying, for most people, especially for a lot of Black women that are artists. So that a part of owning the experience is, number one, like you said, being prepared. I'm a firm believer that you should be there before the session starts. So like, for example, if your session, especially if you're not recording, in-house, if your session starts at, let's say, 8 o'clock,
You should be pulling up to the studio at like 7:40, 7:45. Let them know you're there so you can have time to adjust and set up, gather whatever you need to do. Like you said, if you got water, tea, snacks, you know, if you like to smoke before, have you a little shot, whatever it is that gets you into your zone. Like, I feel like that's very important. And then, you know, I know starting off, like for myself personally, the best way I can put it is that it was a little bit of both for me, because the first time I ever recorded like independently, like it was in somebody's house, like their own little studio, and I had been practicing this song like for some time, because at the time I was showing it, or I guess you could say presenting it to the group of friends I had at that time that were musically inclined as well, because I wanted them to hear it. I wanted their feedback. So by the time I got to the studio, it only took me two takes and I was done. Song was done.
Wow.
Verse was laid, you know, it was ready to go. But then like transitioning, you know, into other studios, it was kind of different. That's when I learned like how you said owning the experience, because since every engineer is different, you know, you really have to be able to communicate what it is you need. So, for example, I had to learn that it's important to communicate to the engineer having my levels at a comfortable, you know, volume or a comfortable setting to where I can not only hear myself very well, but I can hear the music. And you know the ambiance is right, because sometimes you may not everybody, but just depending on who you work with, you may run into people to where everything is loud. You're loud, the music's loud, and now you're just loud on the mic, and that's not how it should be. You know, you have to be able to communicate like, hey, you know, mic check, let me test my levels, you know, put a little reverb on there. Okay, turn me down a little bit, turn the music up a little bit, you know, things like that. That's very important. And then not to mention, like you said, you know, not everybody necessarily needs to be in the studio with you. I think that's just more so like for the energy. And like you said, I think I've seen that a lot more so with like rappers, more than I've seen it with like singers. But then at the same time, like I've seen some singers have, you know, a nice entourage of people, you know, come in and out too. And I've had some instances like
Girl,
that
they
myself.
do. They do it too. Some of them do it. Because I was saying rappers, and then then I have like all these memories come back. Like, girl, it was not just rappers; it was singers too. I'm like, yes, it was singers. All of them. I mean, I would say the vast majority. That in my experience, you know, just in my experience, the vast majority had some sort of like external entourage that was way more than what I felt was necessary.
And you know, with that, what I'll say too is like, depending on, you know, how you work, some of those experiences is kind of what pushed and led me to have my own recording setup in my own domain, because I just knew how I like to hear myself when I'm recording and what type of zone I like to get in. And it was always a 50-50, like hit or miss, depending on who I was working with. But that also goes into what you said too about knowing what complements your performance. Because, for example, if you know your schedule is better during the daytime, you know, and you're prepared that way, that means you might be up, you know, early in the morning, getting your tea, doing your warm up, so you can be ready for the early slot. Versus me, I personally like performing in the evening time. And, you know, not necessarily because of like the rates per se, but it's more so by that time, like I feel like I'm at my peak as far as my energy. Like I've always been like a night owl, a night person. So typically my best studio sessions are, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night. Don't get me wrong, I've tried some 2 o'clock ones and some 3 o'clock ones, and they all right, but you know, they ain't
You
not
mean
for
in the
me.
afternoon or the afternoon or the morning? What AM
No,
or
it's like in the
PM?
afternoon, like in the
Oh, okay. I'm
afternoon.
like, okay. I'm just
And I
wondering.
don't know. I guess it's just because like I need, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's for some reason like I feel like my voice is at its peak and at its best time of performing. I guess if I said that right, it's best for performing during those hours. And it might be because of like, you know, how I grew up and you know, singing with different groups, most times when I had rehearsals or vocal practice, it was typically in the evening time. So I think over time, like, my body and my voice just kind of got used to that. And so I naturally gravitate to that. Now, don't get me wrong, like, I can be ready in the morning too. But it more than likely, I was probably doing some warm-ups the night before, or I was singing like late that night. And so by the time I came back that morning, like, I'm still off of that particular high or that particular peak. So I'm already ready to go. But yeah, that's important to know too. You have to know, like, you know, when your best performance time is, so you can get the best sound and produce the best song or the best performance, you know, what have you. And another thing I'll say to kind of throw in there, you know, I think it's very key, and this is no shade to anybody because I know I've had this before too. And sometimes it can be like pulling teeth, but also, no, I feel like no matter, even as an independent artist, no matter male or female, but especially for women, because, you know, we're in a man's world. Let's just leave it at that. when it comes to this industry, like, it is highly male regulated and unregulated. You know, when it comes to your production, whatever producer you're working with, depending on the circumstances, like, if you can get all of the individual instrumental tracks, meaning all of the stem tracks for your recording session, it really is the best thing to do. I know sometimes that, you know, depending on what producers you're working with, they may have already, you know, had their beat mixed and mastered, or mixed rather, or mixed down. And so they're giving you the mixed down version to where all you need is your vocals. But in the long run, post-production, it's much better for the engineer to work with your tracks and your vocals if they have not only your raw vocals, but the instruments from the actual production. So not like the two track, but, you know, if it has a snare, the individual snare track, the individual piano track, the individual trumpet or whatever tracks or instruments that they have, you know what I'm saying? It just produces an overall better sound. And I know sometimes it's difficult for people, just depending, like I said, on your relationship, how you got your production. But if that is an option, that's definitely always the best option. And that goes back to being prepared too, you know. Yeah. Have all of your music ready on that hard drive or that flash drive, or in, you know, your digital sharing file drives, or, you know, be ready to email it. Have an email already on draft. So when you get there, hey, how am I sending you this music? How do I share it with you? Can I send it to you beforehand? And if nothing else, if nobody else tells you guys, even if you are independent, even if you have your own stuff, be prepared for the work that comes after the studio too, like copywriting your music. Even if you got to do a poor man's copyright, do that, or go on copyright.gov and make sure you do that. Have that conversation with the producer, with the engineer, especially if they're not paid for hire, like if they're actually working with you, you know, make sure you guys have those percentages set up so you can do your publishing as well. Make sure you have your own publishing rights. And that kind of goes back to what we were talking about with starting out and investing. You know, that segues back into that, but that's something that's important too. You know, even with your lyrics, you know how, like, we might sometimes know our lyrics, but going back to actually make sure that your lyrics are readable to be published, like, on these different sites, like whether it's iTunes or Genius or Spotify. You know, it's best to even have that done before you go to the studio, so that way you can easily communicate with the engineer. Like, let's say if you got to go back, oh, I don't like this part, let me do that over. Oh, what part you mean? Oh, the line where I said this, and they got the lyrics pulled up right in front of them. And versus it being like, you know, your shorthand or what you wrote on paper, you have an actual word copy that's precise. You know what I mean? So all that stuff, it does make a difference, and it sets you apart from, you know, excuse my friend, somebody just going in doing some shit versus, you know, being professional.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And most engineers, like, they will ask you for your stems, tracks, and is way more helpful if you do have those. So I would say whatever, you know, like, make sure if you can, when you, whatever producer you're working with, ask them for those tracks before you go to the studio. Because a lot of engineers will ask you, and they can still work without them, but I mean, it's better if you have. And so yeah, that's you hit on so many good things, and I like what you were talking about being prepared after the studio, because that's like the beginning almost, really. It's like, okay, I'm in the studio, everything's done now. Okay, what's next? There's so many steps after that, and definitely protecting your, your lyrics and protecting your music. If you maybe you were the producer yourself, or protecting your creation is so important after the studio. And that's something that I feel like as independent artists, and even being signed too, obviously, but as independent artists, you really have to, you're in charge of protecting all of that. And we have to protect ourselves and our and our creativity and our genius, because that's really all we have. And the beauty in that is owning everything that we do. And no matter what, whatever we do, it comes back to us, tenfold, really, because we'll own everything. So that's like one beauty of, working independently in the studio and so forth. So what would be some of your suggestions? Like, let's say somebody wanted to start their own studio, like building their own in-house studio at their house. What would you say would be some beginning things to do or to invest in?
Man, you know what? That is a great question, because it's really not that difficult. And there are some costs, obviously, but it's not as expensive as people would think. Obviously, the better or more high quality equipment is definitely going to cost you a lot. Like, you don't necessarily need to go out and get a whole 32 channel soundboard, like you see in the major studios, even though obviously that's going to give you one of the highest quality sounds. But it doesn't mean you can't get that same thing, because a lot of things are digital nowadays. So two things I would recommend. One is Amazon. You'd be surprised what you find, okay? And the second one, this is such a gem. So if you're hearing this, I am literally giving you a gem. Sweetwater. And if you don't know what Sweetwater is, look it up. They have a website, but it's everything, music, production equipment, everything that you can imagine. And starting off realistically for your own studio, the main things that you need is whatever device you're going to use for your recording. So, for example, I have a MacBook. So, if you have a MacBook, you have a Windows computer, doesn't matter. You just need the software for recording. Some people like to use Logic, some people like to use GarageBand. I use Pro Tools. That's pretty much the standard, and that's what I say you can go with, because nowadays, because it's so much easier to get into the digital space when it comes to music and recording. Pro Tools offers all kind of deals to where you don't have to go, and back in the day, you used to have to go to like Guitar Center and buy the program or get the disc and all this kind of stuff. You don't have to do any of that. Now you can pretty much download the program. And with Pro Tools, you can have like a monthly subscription. They offer things from like $9 a month all the way to like $100. You can look it up, see the prices, but it is affordable. So that's number one. And once you have that software, now it's just about the equipment that comes with it. So obviously, you need a box that connects to your computer and that connects to everything else. So normally what they call that is an inbox, or your digital DAW. And there are so many of them out there, just depending on what you're doing. My recommendation is that if you're just one person recording a song, then you don't need anything bigger than something that holds two microphones, basically. And if you do your research, you'll understand what I mean. But that's all you need is the inbox. And then from there, you have your microphone. There are a lot of microphones out there. Pick and choose. I have an Ashton microphone. I've always loved their brand, and then eventually I'll work my way up to the Neumann. That's like, oh, amazing for anybody that knows microphones. Okay. Anyway, that's what I have. And you know, make sure you have your soundproofing material, whether that's for your walls or for like your microphone that catches all that sound and muffles it out and protects the sound in the room. And then from there, you know, your speakers, whether it's your headphone, well, yeah, your speakers and your headphones, I should say. Because you need some great speakers. I know people see it's popular to have KRK speakers, which is the ones you see with like the yellow around it. And if I'm being quite honest, like I like those speakers because yellow is my favorite color. But, you know, it just kind of depends on all of what you're doing. Like if you're also producing as well, I would recommend with your production to not just get the speakers, but get like the whole system. Like, you can get the main speakers, get you a subwoofer, you know, so you can get that total all sound. And then from there, it's just kind of picking and choosing. You know, some people like to get the beat machines to go with it. Some people like to get a keyboard to go with it, which is something that I have. But I mean, it's really not much. It's all about whatever device you're using, computer or laptop, having that program downloaded, your choice, having the inbox to connect everything, and then your speakers and your microphone and headphones. Those are really the main components that you need. And, you know, from there, like, depending on how your system is set up, you know, the cables that go with it. Like, for example, if you get a TV and you want to connect to the cable, you got to go get the cable cord. So there are certain cords that you need to connect everything. But, you know, that kind of goes into audio technology. And I will say this, the reason I know how to do this, because, you know, thank God for YouTube nowadays, people can go online and learn this. But before YouTube got as educational as it is now, I actually went to school for audio technology because I wanted to learn how to not only record myself, but engineer my own music. Now, of course, I don't do that because I'm one person and, you know, it takes a lot of time, and it's just best to leave that to the person that dedicated their life to doing that. Not saying you can't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that was my initial mindset. You know, I was trying to cut corners. I was trying to cut costs, you know, and just make simple investments that would last me. But it worked out for me in the long run because, again, I do have my own setup. I'm able to record my own tracks and they're recorded properly, and I'm able to get them over to the engineer. And the same thing with bringing in the production. I don't necessarily need the producers to physically be with me. As long as I have the production, I can bring it into my sessions, record, and send everything out. So that's what I would say you need. And another reason I say Sweetwater too is because if all else fails and you just don't know what to do, I've had such a great relationship with the person that I work with, and he's been the same person I work with since I've been buying from them. So, you know, whenever you buy from them, whoever's assigned to you, like, that's your person. They're going to know you. They're going to work with you. And if you don't know what to do and you tell them what you're trying to do, they're going to know exactly how to help you and walk you through the process. So I definitely recommend them. And I say Amazon, of course, too, because sometimes, you know, in some cases, if you don't have to spend a lot of money on certain things and Amazon does have a deal, definitely take advantage of it. But for the most part, you're going to find what you need on Sweetwater. So that's what I would say to that.
Okay, well, you gave the people a lot of information. Thank you.
I know, free gems.
You did. A lot. That was a lot. And then, like you said, it really doesn't take that much. It's just, you know, if that's the route that you want to go and you feel like, yeah, this is what I need to do, it's just getting the equipment, basically, just those basic things, and, you know, going on your way. And that's a beautiful thing, be able to record yourself and to not have to rely on, you know, somebody else. And then it's also beneficial if maybe you're not in, depending on where you live, but you may not be near, you know, a decent studio or whatever, and it makes more sense for you to just have the equipment at your house anyway. So yeah, that's awesome. So let me ask you this. What do you prefer, recording alone in your in-house studio or at somebody else's studio? What is your preference? Or if you don't want to answer like preference, what would you say you like about those experiences.
And you know what? You kind of said what I was thinking, because I'm like, man, it's not so much of like which one I do like better. It really is like the circumstances. So like, for example, I like working in my studio for particular songs that I know require a lot of finesse, okay? Because in comparison to working in somebody else's studio, because obviously that's a set time, it's a set day. For songs like that, when I'm not 100% sure of like how long it may take me, because again, you know, I don't have an actual I don't want to say producer in the sense of like music, but like a physical producer or a vocal coach with me to help like show me how to perform the song. And what I mean by that, to kind of make it make sense, like from a singing standpoint, it's different when you can just go and sing and be done versus like writing, arranging, singing, and then trying to make sure, like, okay, I need to perform it this way versus that way. So those particular songs, like, I do like working on by myself because I can take my time with them and really get into the feeling versus having that nervousness of like, oh my gosh, I only got 30 seconds left. Oh, I'm 30 seconds, 30 minutes left, blah, 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 you know.
Or 30 seconds, but maybe.
Right, because that does affect mentally to where like I'm more so focused on how much time I got left versus like the actual performance. And it does give me a little bit of anxiety, and you can hear it in my performance. So I like to work by myself on songs like that. But when it comes to being in the studio, like if there's a particular song like I just know and it's just simple for me, and I just want to go ahead and get it done, and I know the engineer, I have a great rapport with them, you know, I'll go ahead and spend that time doing that. And especially if I'm writing songs for other people, like, you know, I can lay it down here, but I do like the energy of being in the same space with the people that I'm working with. If we're, you know, licensing songs or writing for other artists, or I'm doing a feature, like especially features and collaborations, I would rather be in the studio with those people versus, you know, in my own space. So that's what I would say, because I know a while ago, another reason I started recording at home or in house more is because one of the engineers I really, really like working with, he ended up relocating, you know, because he, you know, he leveled up some. I ain't mad at him, do your thing. But now he's not where I am. So it was like, so I had to, you know, figure that part out. And I did try to work with some other engineers, but it just wasn't the same rapport. Like nothing bad, but you just know who you work better with without having to kind of over communicate what your needs are and what you're trying to do.
I
But
like
that's what
everything
I
that
would
you
say.
said. Okay, that's pretty interesting. And I mean, I would say that you, with him leveling up, that engineer leveling up, it really kind of leveled you up too, because then you said, you know, that pushed you to, I guess, do more on your own, which is in its own way a leveling up of sorts, you know, because now you're doing something that you weren't once doing out of necessity. And, you know, that's what we do a lot of the time as independent artists. We have to do a lot of things to ourselves to make up for where we, you know, might not have something in another area. So that's pretty much, I mean, I don't really have any, I mean, I could add some more of this, but we're getting to the end of the hour. Any closing things that you would like to say?
I guess the one thing I would say to close this out is, I mean, it just kind of goes back to the main thing we've kind of drilled in on, is the fact of, you know, you have to know yourself as an artist, because at the end of the day, you know, these are the things that work for us. And, you know, we had to go through, I guess you could say, a little trial and error and experiences to know what benefited us best when it came to performing in the studio. So, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. You know, you have to know your sound, you have to know your music, you have to know your schedule, you have to know, you know, when you're best at performing. You have to know the type of people that you work best with. And at the end of the day, you know, really it's just that preparation. And that's the part of being prepared. You have to know yourself as an artist. And I think that circles back to what a lot of people say. And I might have mentioned it before, like, you know, not necessarily, I mean, it's their opinion. And it doesn't mean that they're all bad or all good. But just, you know, you have to know who you are and know what works for you. And like you said, own the experience. And that's what it comes down to. And if nothing else, you got to have fun. Because if you're not really passionate about what you're doing, you know, it's just going to seem like work and it's not going to feel fulfilling. And that's the biggest thing. Like, if nothing else, the process is really the most fun part of the process, in my opinion, because now you're seeing what you've, you know, conceptualized in your head come into reality, and when you hear that final product back, or even when you just hear the playback in the studio, I don't know about you, Ashara, but I'll be like, "Ooh,
playback. Yeah, I did that. It is. It's a magical thing when everything
like
comes together.
You gotta remind yourself, like, yeah, that's me.
That's me." It's a beautiful thing at the end of your session when you can be like, okay, this is something I created from an idea from, you know, nothing essentially, and now it's a full-blown recording of my work and, you know, the love I have for this art form. And I think that that's one of the best things about going to the studio, because it is like, it's realizing your dream. It's you're getting that finished product. And that's like something that I live for sure. And it feels so good to finally have that finished product in your hand, so to speak, and be able to go out and share that with the world. I think that's like the biggest takeaway from today is just be prepared and have fun and be proud of yourself, because you're doing something that is not, it's real work, you know, and it's not something that everybody can do, and it's not an easy thing to do. It's a lot of work that goes into that with the writing, the producing, the arranging, the, you know, the singing, your actual voice. Is an instrument, so the training that you went through, think about everything that got you to that point, and now you have this finished product at the end of the day, and you know that's essentially your life's work. So be proud of that finished product when you're done.
Yes, all that time, days, hours, months, weeks of work for 3 minutes.
Three minutes.
10 tracks. But we're gonna wrap it up, leave it right there, because I love what you said, Ashara. That was perfect. You know, be prepared, have fun, and be proud. So yes, this is Industry Podcast, y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook. That's ND. ISTRY podcast every week here Thursday 9 Central 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you already know it's your girl, your highness Tiara Monique. That's TIARRA Monique everywhere. And you know, I'll share some more things with you guys later, but of course I have my wonderful, beautiful, lovely co-host here as well.
Yes, it's me, Ashara Damora, and as you know, you can follow me on Instagram at Ashara Unlimited, on here, on Stereo, at Ashara, and everywhere else you should be able to find me as Ashara Damora or Ashara Unlimited. So that is all for tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
All right. Peace out.
All right. Good night.